If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 22. 1 Chronicles, chapter 22. It's in the Old Testament. You go 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, chapter 22. Today will be a little bit of a different day in the way our message is. First of all, we introduce 28 babies to you, so we like to start our service off that way. And today is really an opening of what we've called the next initiative for our church, which is called Next, The Time Is Now. Look at those words. When you think about the word next, is a forward-moving word. Whenever you think of next, it's the next challenge. It's the next at-bat, the next shot, the next goal. It's that next stronghold that's going to be demolished. It's that next relationship that's going to be restored and repaired. It's that next step of growth as a Christ follower. It's that next person that I want to share my faith with. I want to tell the good news. That next always has an anticipation to it. And what it means is that something has been identified and something needs attention because it's that next thing that you need to do. And then it's called the time is now. There can be next things to do, and yet you can procrastinate. So what we did was we put next because the need's identified, and then we put the time is now. And when you see now, it denotes an urgency. There is an appeal to take action. It needs to be taken promptly, immediately. So next, the time is now. So you put this together, and for our church, what this means is we have identified the needs. We've identified what that next step is. And the next steps that we need to take as a congregation, and that the time to do that is now. And it falls into two areas. One is spiritual transformation, and the other is facility improvement. Spiritual transformation. Last year, we introduced a mission statement to you, the new mission statement of our church. And our mission is this: sending transformed people to influence their world for Christ. Sending transformed people to influence their world for Christ. And so we had a tagline, which is called Live Sent, which means that we are all to live as people who are being sent into our neighborhoods, into our schools, into our jobs. Wherever it is we have this sphere of influence, this is where we are sent to be able to be salt and light and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And with the challenges of today's culture, what we need as believers is to have a deeper level of discipleship and a higher level of commitment. A deeper level of discipleship and a higher level of commitment. We need to continually be transformed into the image of Christ. And as we are being transformed into the image of Christ and we are being more like Him, then we are more effective as we are being sent out into our particular sphere of influence. And with the challenges of today's culture, we each need to go deeper in our discipleship and we need to go higher in our level of commitment. And the time we need to do this is we need to do this now. And all of us need this. So you have spiritual transformation that we want to challenge our church over these next few years. But then there's also facility improvement. In 2002, we embarked on a master plan for this entire campus. And over the last 15 years, what we have done is we have either renovated a building or built new buildings. Everything on this campus is either new or renovated except for one building, and that is our worship center. And though it is a beautiful worship center, it is 29 years old. And just to keep it in perspective, in 1963, we built the conference center, which is called the former worship center. And 20 years after it was built, we renovated it. We have been in this building for 29 years and have not renovated it. And so the time is now. The time is now to do that. And so thinking about both the spiritual and the facility, I was drawn to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And one of the big building programs in the Old Testament was the building of the temple. And David had desired to build the temple, but God told him he could not, but that was going to be for his son. So I want you to follow with me. If you've got your Bible, start in verse 6. It says, "And then he called for Solomon his son, and he charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, I had it in my heart to build a house for the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'You have shed much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name because you shed so much blood before me on the earth. Behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his surrounding enemies, and for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish his royal throne in Israel forever.'" Bottom line, David, you don't get to build it, but your son Solomon will. So now, in the midst of David sharing this with Solomon, look at these last few verses as to what he tells him. "Now, my son, the Lord be with you, so that you may succeed in building the house of the Lord your God, as he has spoken concerning you." Facilities. Build the house as God has commanded you. But then look at verse 12. "Only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding, that when he gives you charge over Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and the rules that the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Fear not. Do not be dismayed." Look what is underlined. He said, it's more than just building the house. It's more than just building the temple. It's more than people looking how beautiful is the brick and mortar and all that's been put together. He says, you need to make sure that you're keeping the law of the Lord your God. So even while a building is being built, you need to have that spiritual transformation taking place. And you need to observe the statutes and the rules that the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. And so there's the spiritual, and at the same time, there's also the facility. And so for us and our next initiative, the time is now, we will be challenging all of our people to take the next step in their spiritual transformation and to take the next step in our facility improvements. So what's the next step spiritually? The next step spiritually, and if you hopefully saw our lobby out here, you'll see it's identified through the four spiritual components that we'll be talking about. When we think about our next step spiritually, when we designed or developed the mission statement for our church, sending transformed people to influence their world for Christ, there had to be something to determine, how do I know if I'm really doing this? How do I know if I'm being a transformed person who's sent to influence my world for Christ? So we came up with something called measures. There were six questions, and we've taken four of those questions and put them in the spiritual components. The first question is this: have I met with God today? Have I met with God today? And we're looking at this as reading the Bible. Reading the Bible. So what is our next goal? Our next goal is this, is over the next 2 years, we want 2,000 people at Shades to meet with God daily by personally and regularly engaging in the Bible. Now, when we look at 2,000 people in our church doing this, the latest statistics show that only 45% of Protestant churchgoers read their Bible more than one day a week. Only 45%, people who go to church just like you, only 45% read their Bible more than one day a week. We would love to see this pushed up to close to 80%. And the key is talking about regularly engaging in the Bible. What does it mean to engage in the Bible? It means you read the Bible, but then you allow God through his word to lead you and to change your life, your direction, your thinking, and your actions. And surveys have shown that the number one spiritual discipline is reading God's word. And if we will read God's word and apply it to our life, what happens is we pray more, we serve more, we share more, we give more, and we go more. All of this connected to just reading God's word and engage it. So what's our next step? Our next step is this: to read through the Bible for 1 year using a reading plan. Over these next 2 years, we would encourage all of our members to pick one reading plan and go through the Bible and completely read it. We will provide you two plans. One is one that our discipleship groups are using, and the other one is one that's chronological. The one that I've been doing this past year. You pick either one. They're the only ones that the Holy Spirit has approved, all right? No. These are just to give you a guide. And if you want to go a different route, fine. Just make sure you read the Bible on there. Number two, the second question is, am I close to someone far from God? Share the gospel. Share the gospel. So what do we need for this? Our next step is this. Our next goal is this, excuse me. Over the next 2 years, we want to have 10,000 gospel conversations with people who are far from God and pray for 250 people to give their lives to Jesus. Over these next 2 years, we want to be intentional in developing gospel conversations. That does not mean that's 10,000 times where you take out a track or you're explaining the three circles. It means that you get into a gospel conversation. That as you're talking about football or talking about anything else or Facebook or social media or whatever's going on in the political agenda and political world, that somewhere you can steer it over to a spiritual conversation, a gospel conversation, and begin getting some, kind of building that relationship and building that bridge, you can talk more about the gospel. It means being intentional. That's our goal. So what's our next step? Our next step is this. To make one new friend who's far from God at least every 6 months and intentionally share the gospel with them. Sometimes we live sort of in a bubble or in a little self-contained Christian group. And so what would it be like if every 6 months you at least intentionally try to build a friendship with someone who was not a believer? And it's not just so that you can share the gospel, get a notch on your belt. It's because you care for them and they need the gospel. And you build a friendship with them, and as you build that friendship, in the midst of that friendship, you also enter into gospel conversations. And it's our prayer that after all these conversations, at least 250 people over the next couple years would come to know Christ as Savior. Third, is my passport current? Go on mission. Our next goal is over the next 2 years, we want to send 3,000 people on mission to Live Sent globally, including 500 people for the first time. Now, 3,000 into 2, 2 into 3,000 is 1,500. So it's like every year about 1,500 people going on mission. Right now, we have about 1,300 that go on mission, and many of them are repeat offenders, okay? They've gone on a lot of mission trips, which is great. We praise the Lord for that and want you to continue. But we don't want people just to sit back and say, well, there's only a certain group that goes on mission trips, the rest of us do not need to. We all need to. Because it does something for you when you get outside of your comfort zone, and whether it be in North America or whether it be overseas. And so we're hoping to have 500 people for the very first time to go on mission trips, and we're going to provide some financial help with them. We'll tell you more about that at the first of the year. So what's our next step? This is our next step, to go on one domestic or international mission project over the next 2 years. We want to encourage you to take these next 2 years and make that a priority to say, you know what, I'm going to set aside a time to be able to go on one mission trip. And last of all is this, am I giving or taking? Give sacrificially. All of us fall into either we're givers or takers. And so a part of what God, who gives to us his son and gives us everything that we have, then would ask us to turn around to give back to him. And this is what our next goal is that over the next 3 years, we want to exceed budgeted giving and fully fund the next initiative. And we've done a great job with our budget, Make Jesus Known, and we want to add to it this next initiative. And so the next step is this, is that we'd increase annual giving to kingdom work through tithing and sacrificially supporting the next initiative. So those are our four spiritual components that all of us for these next 2 years, I hope, will get involved in. And what would happen is the end of those 2 years, we would be transformed believers who are closer in our walk with Christ. And then we have a bigger impact in the sphere of influence in which he has us. This is what we're called to do. Let's just get specific on it and don't just make it in generalities. Let's be able to get after it. Well, that takes us to the next one, and that's our next step facilities, and that is to repurpose the lobby and remodel the worship center. And understand, hear those words, we're not repurposing here, we're repurposing the lobby, and then we remodel the worship center. Now, our original plan was that we would have a video to show you, and when that video, you'd be able to see everything and what it looks like, but the final designs are not complete. I'm your video. But I am not going to go into the look of this or that. I'm just going to hit some high points, and hopefully next week we may be able to show you, have a video that has everything laid out for you. So there, when you look at these words, really there's another R, and that's renovations. Renovations are things that just have to happen. This is a 29-year-old facility. When we talk about this facility, we're talking about this floor, which is the third floor, then the fourth floor, and then the fifth floor. 75,000 square feet of space. And with that 75,000 square feet of space, there are renovations that need to take place. We have 35 HVAC units in these three floors that are 30 years of age. Their lifespan was supposed to be 25. So I think we've kind of got our money's worth, but we need to change those things out. As soon as we began to do work, you know there are codes that we need to comply with. So one of the first things is we need to update our fire alarm system throughout this building. Second, we need to add a fire suppression system, sprinkler system in this building, in this floor, fourth floor, fifth floor. We also need to take our restrooms and make them ADA compatible. And so there'll be expansion of the restrooms. Many of you will be thrilled about that. And they will be ADA compatible. These are things that we have to do. You replace carpet. You take the pews that are here, remove them out, and bring in new pews. You change the carpeting and the flooring out there. That just happens with renovations. And then there's the technical upgrades that would happen. That happens with renovations. And so all of that is something that needs to be done. But then we take that next step, and that is to repurpose the lobby and to remodel the worship center. Why do you do these? Well, real quick, repurpose the lobby. It is to create space for community and spiritual connection. Create space for community and spiritual connection. Every generation's a little bit different. Do you understand that? I remember my dad would shake his head over my generation as we were growing up. And many of you are sitting there, yeah, we did too. You know, our hair was longer, and I've still got pictures of it, and we can't destroy those. And you know, you got that look. It was different. You saw things differently from that generation. And then our generation, those who are younger than us, we sit there and we don't understand at times. Generations change. And one of the things that's happening with this new generation is that with this generation, there's such an emphasis on community. And such a desire to just sit around and take either a cup of coffee or a glass of tea or a Coke or something and sit and to talk and just have that community time. And so all worship centers that are being built, and many of the buildings that are being built today, they're setting up community space. And so what we have out here is really more of a big hallway. We want to turn it into a lobby and to offer some opportunities and some places, some conversation areas for people to come, not just on Sunday, but then throughout the week that they can come. One businessman, when he was talking to me, said, well, let's just say it's like a Tuesday afternoon and I want to meet with a guy to talk over some business. Can I just come up here to the church and get a cup of coffee here and sit out there? I said, for sure. That's exactly right. And then guess what? That person who may be intimidated to come into a big church like this, once he comes and has that little sit-down cup of coffee, a lot of the defenses drop down, and maybe that next Sunday or the Sunday after, he'd be more open to come and to come to church with you on there. And so it's that community space. But also we will have an area set up to where it will be a place for spiritual connections. There will be a room that we'll have over there. So at the end of the service, when people are wanting to talk to someone, pray with someone, make spiritual decisions, we would go back and we'll have a great room where they can go to, very comfortable setting to where we can talk with people and pray with people. So we want to expand that lobby by 30%. And as we expand it by 30%, we will be able to create space for community, spiritual connection, and at the same time, enhance that space for GIC, Live Sent, and other special Sundays. Repurpose the lobby. Last of all, remodel the worship center. Remodel the worship center. Anytime you come in and do renovations to your home, you always stop and look and say, can we make some things better? It's the same thing in this facility. It served us well for 29 years, but things have changed, generations have changed, and there's some things that we need to do. And there's two things in particular that we're focusing on: improve sight lines and increase flexibility. Improve sight lines, increase flexibility. Just from a logical business standpoint, once we walk into this room and we change carpet and pews or whatever, whatever we do will be the way it will be for the next 20 years. You realize that, at least. You say, well, this has lasted us almost 30 years. I think this is maybe a higher quality than what we even get today. I'm just going to tell you, things today are built not to last as long, it seems. So I'm going lowball and going 20 years, but it could be 30. But whatever we do, that's the way it will be for the next 20 years. And so while we have this opportunity to come in and to make a major renovation of just carpet and pews, why don't we go that extra step? And let's remodel it so that we can improve the sight lines and we can increase the flexibility. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, there are places in this worship center that are not the best seats in the house. And what we'd like to do is take the seats that aren't the best seats and then replace them and make it even better. And so many of you know where I'm going right now. I'm going to my favorite people underneath the balcony over here that are filled up every Sunday back here trying to hide from the Holy Spirit back here. What are y'all doing back here? You are the most faithful members that we have. And I love having you back here. But I'm getting ready to tell you, you're going to be sitting in the lobby, okay? Because what will happen is we will place a wall about right here, okay? And it will go right across there. We'll still have those entryways. And that part underneath the balcony will now be the expanded lobby. Now, these seats are difficult because sometimes you sit in the very back, you can't really see all of the screen. I know. I get your tear-offs on there. And I can't move that screen. So we know there's some challenges under there. And we said, well, let's take those and make them better seats. Okay? Does that make sense? Now, that first Sunday, when we're in the new building or the remodeled building, I just got to tell you, folks, this is the back row. And these guys are going to fight you tooth and nail for these seats right here. So you better roll up your sleeves and you better get here early. And I'm going to have a video camera watching that because it's going to be so funny on there. So what you do is you put a wall there. And once you've done that, then you begin to kind of bring this up closer. And how do you do that? Well, we will reduce this stage. This stage is 4,500 square feet. We could have a family of 20 living up here. This stage is 4,500 square feet, and we are going to reduce it to 3,300 square feet. And we will push it all the way to where I will probably be preaching close to about right here. Y'all can't see me with the TV. So I will be somewhere about right here. We'll push all of this back. We will clear this stage. We'll take out the choir loft and make this a flat stage up over here. Improve sight lines, increase flexibility. The fan banks are the other ones who have some challenge seats. Now, there are some good seats sort of on the end of the fan bank, but as you get closer to the wall, it's a little bit more difficult. You're staring at a piece of wood and a TV set. What we'd like to do is if you remove that, and then if I'm standing over here preaching, all of a sudden we've got a better sight line with those that are at the fan bank. And you will be able to feel like you're a part of this because everything will just meld right in here to where we are on the stage. Improve sight lines. You say, well, Danny, if you move this, what is all this going to be? These will be pews right in here. This is where the real spiritual people will fight for these seats right here. This is where the spit flies and the spirit falls. Right here, baby. This is where you want to be. And so we'll have all this space right up over here. And now if you can imagine that you kind of wall it off there, you bring it down here, you've got all these pews over here, and you've got sight lines there, all of a sudden you've made this more intimate. And then your concern is, you say, well, what's going to happen to the choir? Okay, I'm going to show you this picture. And before we even put it up, David, this is not exactly how it's going to look. This was 5 months ago. MG&A just threw this out to say, let me just give you an idea, okay? So don't get hung up on this. But I have to show it to you for one reason. All right, show it, David. Okay. The stage, there would be pews in front of all. We didn't put any pews down there. But you can see that we've got risers. And see that one holding their hands up back there? They're excited. They got risers back there. And you can put your orchestra up there. And you've got two big screens. Now, for your choir, you say, well, Danny, it was 4,500 square feet. You've reduced it to 3,300. Will that be enough? Carnegie Hall has about 2,900 square feet on their stage. We went to New York City, took choir and orchestra of over 200 people, put that on the stage, and even had room for me to preach. Yes, we're even bigger than Carnegie Hall, and we can handle it. So 3,300 is still a large space, but then we increase flexibility. You go back to increase flexibility. Our guys and gals can get, strike this stage. We'll just go from this way to this way. We'll have door, double doors to move everything out. Christmas by candlelight, vacation Bible school, you name it. There's so much flexibility that will happen there. Some of you in the balcony are saying, well, you know, it's one thing to be sitting up there and you stand here. If you're going to stand all the way back here, I just feel we're going to be disconnected. Nay, nay. I took the measurements of this screen right here, and I took the measurements of the new screen, of just one new screen, and I sent it to Emily Hines, the world-renowned math professor at Samford University. And when I sent that to her, I said, do the calculation and tell me what the viewing experience will be for those in the balcony. Her figures came back and said those in the balcony will have a 66% better viewing experience because of the size of that screen. Okay. It didn't say the preaching is going to be better. It just said that you'll be able to see me better on there. And so, improve sight lines. This is a wonderful building, but we can improve sight lines. We can take some of the seats that were the most, probably not the strongest of being able to get sight lines, and improve it. Put seats here, improve sight lines there, improve sight lines there. We want to improve the sight lines, and we need to increase flexibility. There's also something that we will introduce, and it's kind of like a cloud ceiling is what they call. If you went about two-thirds the top of this screen, and about that, those pipes, the second pipe at the top, and just cut right there, there would be like floating a cloud ceiling that will come over the stage to bring this down some more, to make it a little bit more of an intimate gathering for us. You say, well, why do you need that? We want to increase flexibility. And flexibility means the flexibility to go to multiple services if we decide to do that, not just today or next year, but the next 20 years, if that's what we want. Millennials have said that they're not really crazy about being in large spaces. In fact, one study said they like to be in a place of 1,000 and less. And if we're trying to reach that generation and the generation that comes after them, there's more of an emphasis on community. We want to provide that. And they like the options and the choices and even maybe a smaller gathering. So what if we decided to say, well, let's just do two worship services, and that way we have an opportunity to reach out to this generation and even the next generation. Will we do that? That's a strategic decision that we can all make the decision on. But the key is, do you have the flexibility to do that? Right now, we do not. This is too large of a space, and people just get lost in it. And the feeling, the spirit, the celebratory atmosphere is just completely lost if you tried to do that. So to me, it's a change that we have to make to be flexible for the next 20 years. This church may decide to stay one service for the next 20 years. Great. You say, well, will you lose any seats? We'll lose about 10% of our seats. We have 2,800. It'll be down to about 25. And we can still be in one service, but yet your seating is better. And so that's what we're looking at. We want to improve the sight lines, and we also want to be able to increase our flexibility. Now, your worship center is your footprint for ministry. And I think we need to keep this in mind. In 1963, when we built the conference center, that was the worship center, and it was a footprint for ministry for 26 years. And then this was built in 1989, and it has been our footprint for ministry for 29 years. As we get ready to look towards the next generation, whatever we do in this room will be the footprint of ministry for the next 20 years. So it seemed both to myself and our staff, the deacons and the finance committee, that we needed to make these remodeling, the repurposing out there and remodeling here, to put us in that position that can help us to minister all the way through the year
2040. So what's our goal and what's our time frame? This is our goal. Our goal is that we would, over 3 years, that we would raise $10 million. Our goal is that we would raise $10 million over and above our budget giving and make Jesus known giving. And we've done these before, initiatives before, and this is what we'll be asking of our people to do. The construction would begin on Monday, February 11th, 2019. Our GIC will be Sunday, and as soon as that GIC is over on the 10th, we'll move right into construction. And second of all, when would we get in? We would hopefully move in on August 11th, 2019. And so when school starts back up is when we bring everybody back together over here. We look at that number, $10 million, and say, well, that's quite a challenge, and it is. And so this summer, we met with families and some leadership families. We brought people together. We shared the vision with them, and we said, would you be praying about this and whether God is leading you to help in this initiative and to try to kind of blaze the trail? I'm excited to announce that we had 64 families, and they've committed $3,725,000. And so, like 37% of the project already through 64 families, because they said, we believe in this and we think this is the right thing to do. And this is something that all of us will have to be a part of. Everything from the smallest gift to the largest gift. It's not equal gifts, it's equal sacrifice. And we'll talk about this some during this time together. But it's a great start for us, and it's a challenge, but it's something that we can all do. So here's your last question, and that is, why is the time now? I understand, Dan, you said next, but the time is now. Why is the time now? Three reasons. Number one, the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. This has been a mantra that we've used since 2002 when we first started to do work on our buildings. The light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. What that means is we have to take care of our home base, because it is part of our community and our city strategy. We want to reach our community. We want to reach our city. We have to be strong at home. And when the light is shining bright at home, then it will shine even further. Plus, this is the equipping and sending center for preparing and releasing people into our world to be salt and light. This is where it has to happen. And if there's a dim light here, from a spiritual transformation and even from facilities to reach our area, we're not going to shine that light very far. So we have been two-pronged. And over these 15 years, we've invested $26 million in all of this campus here. But at the same time, we've given $34 million to missions, and we are debt-free. And every year, 25 cents out of every dollar, 25% of everything that we give goes outside the walls of this church. So we're not just pouring money into ourselves to say, look at what we've got. No, we're trying to make sure the light is bright here so it can shine furthest around the world. And we are doing that. And we've been working in 50 states and 80 countries around the world through ministry over these years. And so that's why we need to do this, and that's why we need to do it now. Now is that time. Second is this: generations and culture changes, but our mandate does not. Generations and culture changes, but our mandate does not. There's some things we don't have anymore. We don't have girls' auxiliary with queen with scepter. We don't have sunbeams. We don't have training union. We don't have 2 weeks long vacation Bible school. Praise God for that. We don't have seven-day revivals. And as generations and culture change, we change our programming and we change our facilities. And we have the same challenge as those who came before us, and that is our need to reach the next generation. This church has always been forward-thinking in that. It is to reach that next generation. Miller's Chapel, our first worship center, when they built the conference center, it didn't look anything like Miller's Chapel. Different generation. When this building was built, this worship center was built, it doesn't look anything like the conference center, the former worship center. It's a different generation. It's a different culture. And what we're wanting to do is not completely change this, not at all. Just going to do some remodeling, because it's a new generation and it's a new culture. And the next and the final is next pastor. Next pastor. One of the reasons that we feel like that next, the time is now, is that we need to be thinking about whenever that next pastor gets here. Now, I was not looking to do one more building program. I did 3 building programs in Ruston. I've done 3 since I've been here, and I was not looking for a fourth. I told our staff at Chapters, let's make this a good one because it's my last one. And in the back of my mind, I've made a list of things for next guy. So whenever people would ask something, I go, hey, next guy over there. People would ask me about the worship center. And they say, what are we going to do about the worship center? Next guy. And I would just smile on that. And then all of a sudden, God began to speak to me about 2 years ago. And began to look at it logically and analytically. And last month, I turned 65. And so when I start looking down the road, how long do I want to continue to be pastor? I mean, it could be, 3, 5 years, something like that. I'm not going to go into where y'all have to just prop me up here. So so if you're looking to, let's say, 3 to 5 years, well, let's just go 3 to 5 years. And then all of a sudden we say, well, let's bring that next pastor in. Well, once that next pastor gets in, from all the research and from personal experience, it will take a pastor 7 years to build up enough trust within the church membership to be able to tackle an initiative of this size and of this emotion. It would take 7 years to do that. Which what that means is if we don't do it now and we wait, then I leave and the new guy gets there, it'll be 10 to 12 years before something is done in this room. It'll be 10 to 12 years with the carpet, 10 to 12 years with pews that are falling apart. But even worse is that when he stands up before this congregation and he says, I've got a 2030 vision that I want to share with you. When he's sharing a 2030 vision to help reach that generation that we've just sat here and prayed for and applauded, he will be sharing that. Will he be sharing that with a 1989 footprint, or will he be sharing it with a 2019 footprint? I think we need to set him up so that when he stands before, with the vision that God has given him, stands before this congregation, that it is with as an up-to-date footprint as possible so he can make that become a reality. That's why the time is now. That's why we need to do this. So you put it all together. That's what it is. Next, the time is now. I want to ask you to do something. On the end of the pews, you've got some packets that say next. And if you're on my right, you've got them. Pass them down. There's one for everybody. There's one for everybody. No, this is not a commitment card, and there's no money that's taken up. There's 2 things in there. Number one, there is a brochure that has everything that I showed you on the screen. And number 2, there is a devotion guide that we would love for every member to be serious about this devotion. And it's 5 days a week, and we'll do this for 5 weeks. And as you go through that, it just leads us right up to our commitment Sunday. I hope you take advantage of that. And I appreciate all the people in our church who help write these devotions. And so this is your packet. We want you to hold on to that, okay? And then we will continue this process as we walk through next. The time is now. I thank you. Thank you for listening. And I encourage all of us to pray as we go through these next steps. We will walk through this process for another month or so, and then we'll have a commitment Sunday on November 5th. I will be preaching sermons not just about giving, but talking about next. What about that next spiritual stronghold that needs to be broken? What about that next relationship that needs to be restored? What about that next day even getting out of bed because you're so burdened down by life? We will look at these issues and talk throughout this month of October. And so I hope that you'll be with us and be in prayer for that. Let me lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have blessed this church so much through all of these years. And it's our prayer that we would come to you with open hands and open arms and open hearts and allow you to speak to us about next steps that each one of us as individuals need to take, so that we can help our church take that next step, so that we can better reach that next generation. Thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.